Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivad Gacharya Stotra Satta Sri Srimad Esi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Gita Sri Prabhupada Founder Acharya Bibhitiskam Gita Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Gita All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We are reading from Canto 9, Chapter 11, which is entitled Lord Ramachandra Rules the World, Text 20. Na idam yasha raghupate surayaknaya Attalila Adika Samya Vimukta Damna Rakshavada Jaladi Bandhanam Astra Pugai Kim Tasya Shatru Anane Kapaya Sahaya Nidam Yasho Raghupate Sura Yaknayata Lila Tanor Adika Samya Vimukta Damna Rakshovado Jaladi Bandhanam Astra Pugai Kim Tasya Shatruhanane Kapaya Sahaya Nidamyaso Rahupate Surayaknayata Lila Tanoradika Samya Vimukta Damna Rakshovado Jaladi Bandhanam Astra Pugai Kim Tasya Shatru Anani Kapaya Sahaya Nidam Yasho Raghupate Surayaknayata Lila Tanoradika Samya Vimukta Damna Rakshovado Jaladi Bandhanam Astra Pugai Kim Tasya Shatru Anane Kapaya Sahaya
Sahaya
Surapate Surayaknayata Vilata Noradika Samya Vimukta Dhamma Vado Jana Dibandana Mastra Pugai Asyakato Hanye Kapaya Sahara Yasura Hupate Surayakna Yatta Nata Nora Dika Samya Vimukta Dhamma Vado Yara Dibanda Surya Yakna Yatta Nata Nora Mukta Dhamma Nora Dojana Dibanda Namastra Pugai Sasatu Hanani Kapaya Sahaya Sora Kupate Surya Yakna Yata Atamo Adhika Samya Vimukta Dhamma Shovado Jana Vibanda Namastra Pugai Himtasya Sattu Anani Kapaya Sahaya Na not Idam all these Yasha fame Rahupate of Lord Ramachandra Surayaknaya by the prayers of the demigods. Attalila Tano, whose spiritual body is always engaged in various pastimes. Adhika Samya Vimukta Dhamna, no one is greater than or equal to him. Rakshavada, killing the Rakshasa, Ravana. Jaladimandanam, breaching the ocean. Astrapugai, with bow and arrows. Kim, whether, Tasya, his, Shatruhanane, in killing the enemies. Kapaya, the monkeys. Sahaya, assistance. Translation and purport by Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Sur Prabhupada Gita. Lord Ramachandra's reputation for having killed Ravana with showers of arrows at the request of the demigods and for having built a bridge over the ocean does not constitute the factual glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra, whose spiritual body is always engaged in various pastimes. Lord Ramachandra has no equal or superior, and therefore he had no need to take help from the monkeys to gain victory over Ravana. Please repeat. Lord Ramachandra's reputation for having killed Ravana with showers of arrows at the request of the demigods, and for having built a bridge over the ocean, does not constitute the factual glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Ramachandra, whose spiritual body is always engaged in various pastimes. Lord Ramachandra has no equal or superior, and therefore he had no need to take help from the monkeys to gain victory over Ravana. As stated in the Vedas, Svetasvatara Upanishad 6.8, Natasya karyam karanam savidyate natatsamas chabhyadikas chadrishyate parasya shaktir vivideva sruyate svabhaviki jnana bala kriyacha. Translation: the Supreme Lord has nothing to do, and no one is found to be equal to or greater than him. For everything is done naturally and systematically by his multifarious energies. The Lord has nothing to do. Natasya karyam karanam savidyate. Whatever he does is his pastime. The Lord has no duty to perform to oblige anyone. Nonetheless, he appears to act to protect his devotees or kill his enemies. Of course, no one can be the Lord's enemy, since who could be more powerful than the Lord? There is actually no question of anyone's being his enemy. But when the Lord wants to take pleasure in pastimes, he comes down to this material world and acts like a human being, thus showing his wonderful, glorious activities to please the devotees. His devotees always want to see the Lord victorious in varied activities, and therefore, to please himself and them, the Lord sometimes agrees to act as a human being and perform wonderful, uncommon pastimes for the satisfaction of the devotees. Om Agyanatirin Maranda Shaganya Salakaya Shakshuru Militam Yenatas Mai Sigurve Namaha Anam Vishnudaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimate Satvarubdas Goswami Dinamini Anam Vishnudaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Dinamini Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesa Sunyavadi Paschacadi Satarini. So here in this verse, it is explained that although it is wonderful that the Supreme Personality of Godhead killed the demon Ravana because he was a great headache, not only for the people on the earth, but also even for the demigods. They were disturbed by Ravana's activities. He was so powerful that he caused a lot of disturbance. And it is wonderful that Sri Lanka, being an island, and that with the help of the monkeys, that he built a bridge to cross from India to Sri Lanka, so that the monkey army could go and fight with Ravana and his powerful man. So although it is wonderful, these activities, as we also will discuss more later, this verse says that the reputation of the Lord, his factual glory, is much more than that. This verse is saying this is just one of his pastimes, wonderful pastimes, but it's just one of his activities that he performs. And sometimes you have people, they do one great act in their life and they are glorified for it for their own life. But that's it. Or they do something for a few years, and then because they whatever, were a wonderful actor on their level, and then they are glorified and they get a lot of money, and just for a few years, a few months. But here, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is always enacting his pastimes. He is always the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when we read the purport starts with quoting a verse from the Svetasvara Upanishad. And the first line, it says that the Lord has nothing to do. That's how that verse starts. The Lord has nothing to do, and no one is found to be equal to or greater than him. For everything is done naturally and systematically by his multifarious energies. So this is the quality of the Lord, and the exceptional quality of the Lord, that he has nothing to do, he has all his time free, and still everything is functioning. All these thousands and millions of universes and they are floating, he is present in the heart of every living entity, of every human being, every animal, every plant. He is present everywhere, and still he has nothing to do. So he has his time free to play, to perform his pastimes. Because this verse is especially about the pastimes. It states also in the verse itself that Lord Ramachandra didn't need the monkeys to become victorious over Ravana. He is independent. He is all-powerful. It was not that he was in a situation too bad. He was sent to the forest. Now, what was he going to eat? How was he going to survive? No, he enacted wonderful pastimes. And there was no question of him lacking anything, or there was no question of him not being able to kill Ravana, or not be able to withstand all these powerful soldiers and family members of Ravana. There was no question about that. Because even Ravana's power is coming from the Supreme Lord. So, and he didn't need to beg help from the monkeys from the forest, and that was his only way to survive and make friends with the king of the monkeys, and because he was lucky, then the monkeys cooperated with him and some or other, etc., etc. No, it's the enacting of the pastime of the Lord. And just like when somebody wants to perform a theater, you write a script, and in the script it's all lined out what every actor is supposed to say, is supposed to do, how is he going to be dressed, etc. So the Lord, he has it all worked out, and he works it out on the spot. It's just part of his power to enact these pastimes for the pleasure of his devotees. And it's not that the Lord has difficulties to face, like he is under a threat. He is not under threat of anybody. The Lord has never any fear or any doubt that he cannot handle a situation, because the Lord can handle all situations. So he is never under any threat. So the Lord, he takes pleasure out of his pastimes. And he, on the request sometimes of the demigods, on the request of his devotees, or just to please his devotees, then the Lord enacts his pastimes. And the devotees, they are very happy to see the Lord being successful in enacting his pastimes. And he is always successful. You always know that when you have the Lord on your side, you know that you're going to be victorious. Only conditioned souls cannot see that. Only demons cannot see that. The Lord is always victorious. He is always the winner. He always has the last word. He has the last say. The last decision, the first decision, everything is under his control. Even if the Lord, when he performs his pastimes, even if he sweats while performing his pastimes, it's part of the performance. In actuality, it's not that the Lord is sweating because he is working so hard or fighting so hard or shooting so many arrows. No, it's just part, just like when we play theater, the make-up, or sometimes somebody performs, somebody is crying in the theater, and it looks like real. But the Lord is not sweating because of hard working, or because he has such a tough time to defeat this particular demon. No, it's part of his pastimes. And these pastimes, they are wonderful. If you look if you just look at the Ramayana, I mean, even when Lord Ram was young, he was already requested to go to the forest and defeat the demons who were disturbing the yagyas performed by the saintly persons. And then at the time of the coronation, a whole drama, wonderful drama. And so much tension was there, and so much, you can be so absorbed in this drama. We hear from the devotees who are present when Srila Prabhupada was present in the drama. I think one drama was here also in Mayapur, and some drama was also in the West. And how devotees tell, although it was in the beginning years, the drama wasn't so perfect, but it was nice. It was done, devotees really went into their role in the drama. And Srila Prabhupada was so pleased. He was totally absorbed in the drama himself. Srila Prabhupada was completely absorbed in what was happening on the stage, what was performed by his disciples. So the Lord is completely absorbed in performing, enacting his drama for the pleasure of his devotees and for his own pleasure. And Lord Rama had to go to the forest for 14 years. And then so many things happened in the forest. And he also took care of things that were needed. So again, there were a lot of disturbances in the forest by the demons. He took care of the demons. And then this whole situation with the golden deer and with Ravana disguised as a monk, and then Sita, who was then so-called bewildered about the whole situation, and then Lakshman, who was in a difficult situation because she wanted him to go. And he didn't want to go. The whole drama after drama after drama, so wonderfully performed. So easy to absorb ourselves. So nice also for parents to tell these stories to their children in the evening before bedtime or whatever. It's these are wonderful things to be absorbed in. I remember when the Ramayana and the Mahabharata, I don't know exactly what came out first, but something like 25, maybe 30 years ago, then there were just, it was not yet existing on DVDs or videos. It was just in the Indian television, they played it once a week. They played it. And at that time, the streets were empty. Otherwise, the streets are very full in India. But at that time, the streets were empty. Everybody was sitting at it, looking at this little television, this size, with 100 people, 50 people, like that, on every different places. And everybody was absorbed in this pastimes. Because for the first time, they were being enacted by the national television. And every week there was an episode, and everybody was looking forward to that day, to that moment of the next episode of the Mahabharata and the Ramayana. And it is wonderful that they are so, that we can be so absorbed in that. Even in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the third canto, second chapter, verse 16, Uddhava says, "When I think of Lord Krishna, how he was born in the prison house of Vasudev, although he is unborn," Lord Krishna is unborn, but he was born in the prison house, "how he went away from his father's protection to Vraj, and lived there incognito so-called out of fear for the enemy? And how, although unlimitedly powerful, he fled from Mathura in fear? All these bewildering incidents give me distress. So Uddhava is speaking, and Uddhava is a pure devotee, cousin of Lord Krishna, and he is bewildered because the pastime of Lord Krishna is so wonderfully performed that one may start to doubt. Is he really the Supreme Lord? Although he knows and he says it also, but still. And so Prabhupada explains also, the Lord is supremely perfect, and whenever he enacts his transcendental pastimes as a son, a rival, or an object of enmity, he plays the part so perfectly that even pure devotees like Uddhava are bewildered. Uddhava knew perfectly well that Lord Sri Krishna is eternally existent and can neither die nor disappear for good. Yet, he lamented for Lord Krishna. All these events are perfect arrangements to give perfection to his supreme glories, to the supreme glories of the Lord. It is for enjoyment's sake. And as Srila Prabhupada explains, just like a father, A father may play with a child. The child is maybe 3, 4, 5 years, and the child has a plastic sword, and the child attacks the father with a plastic sword and so-called kills him, and the father falls on the floor because he is so-called dead. For the pleasure of the child, the father is doing that. And he probably takes pleasure in doing it also. So this is the, Srila Prabhupada compares the enactment of the Lord with this type of activities. And sometimes the Lord, even while performing his, enacting his pastimes, sometimes he changes his plan on the spot. Because the Lord doesn't need to do, like when we have to perform a theater, we have to maybe do 10, 20 or more repetitions so that we know exactly who is going to say what and etc., etc. But he doesn't. He on the spot can change his role. There is an example of that in the Krishna book with. The time when Kamsa is inviting Krishna and Balaram to fight. So Krishna and Balaram are invited to meet the strongest wrestlers and of course, Kamsa already had arranged that upon entering in that area, the arena, but before entering the arena, entering the camp, so to say, then there was this elephant, Kuvalya Pida, who Kamsa's plan was that Krishna and Balaram would already be killed there, at that spot. Because Kamsa was not so eager to have Krishna and Balaram come and fight, because he had heard a lot about him, and already before his birth, Kamsa was fully absorbed in Krishna as going to be the person who would ultimately kill him. So then Krishna defeated Kuvalaya Pida, and I will read some part. After he had killed this elephant, the famous wrestler Chanura then began to talk with Krishna and Balaram. "My dear Krishna and Balaram," he said, "we have heard about your past activities. You are great heroes, and therefore the king has called you. You have heard that your arms are very strong." Although Krishna's arms are the arms of a child, because sometimes in paintings we paint the arms very strong of Krishna, but Srila Prabhupada, when devotee did that, he commented on that and said, "No, Krishna is a gentle little boy, and he doesn't need to be put muscles on him. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not by his muscles that he, but the quantity of muscles that he defeats his enemy." "The king and all the people present here desire to see a display of your wrestling abilities." And then this Chanura, who is one of the two big fighters, the one who will fight with Krishna, says that a citizen should be obedient and please the mind of the ruling king. Acting in that way, the citizen attains all kinds of good fortune. Because he was afraid that Krishna and Balaram would withdraw from the fighting. "One who does not care to act obediently is made unhappy because of the king's anger. You are coward boys, and we have heard that while tending your cows in the forest, you enjoy wrestling with each other. We wish, therefore, that you join with us in wrestling, so that all the people present here, along with the king, will be pleased." Krishna immediately understood the purpose of Chanura's statements, and he prepared to wrestle with him. But according to the time and circumstances, he spoke as follows: "You are the subject of the king of Bhoja, and you live in the jungle. We are also indirectly his subjects, and we try to please him as far as possible. This offer of wrestling is a great favor of his, but the fact is that we are simply boys. We sometimes..." "We sometimes play in the forest of Vrindavan with our friends who are our own age. We think that to combat persons of equal age and strength is good for us. But to fight great wrestlers like you would not be good for the audience," Krishna says. "It would contradict their religious principles." Krishna thus indicated that the celebrated strong wrestlers should not challenge Krishna and Balaram to fight. In reply to this, Chanura said, "My dear Krishna, we can understand that you are neither a child nor a young man. You are transcendental to everyone, as is your big brother Balaram. You have already killed the elephant, Kuvalaya Pida, who was capable of fighting and defeating other elephants. You have killed him in a wonderful way because of your strength. It behooves you to compete with the stronger wrestlers amongst us. I therefore wish to wrestle with you and with your elder brother Balaram. Mustika will wrestle. So then the combat starts. Krishna Balaram, don't deny, the combat starts. After Kamsa's wrestlers expressed their determination, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the killer of Madhu, confronted Shanura, and Lord Balaram, the son of Rohini, confronted Mustika. Krishna and Chanura, and then Balaram and Mustika, locked themselves hand to hand, leg to leg, and each began to press against the other with a view to come out victorious. They joined palm to palm, calf to calf, head to head, chest to chest, and began to strike each other. The fighting increased, and they pushed one other from one place to another. One captured another and threw him down on the ground, and another rushed from the back to the front of another and tried to overcome him with a hold. The fighting increased step by step. There was picking up, dragging, pushing, and then the legs and hands were locked together. All the arts of wrestling were perfectly exhibited by the parties, as each tried his best to defeat his opponent. But the audience in the wrestling arena was not very satisfied, because they felt, you know, depending on who they were, they felt, how, what is this, you know, this big man, they, you know, look like a block of concrete, and they are fighting against this tiny, small boys, and so there was a lot of comments were given like that, and you know, some felt this is not very civilized, it's not even good for us to witness that such small boys are you know, fighting, but such big men, how is that? We should not even allow, we should not even be here. If we cannot do anything about it, we should basically leave the arena. So all this was going on amongst themselves in the audience, because there was thousands and thousands of people. The Vrindavan boys were there, the Mathura citizens were there. Sorry for this drama. So the Mathura citizens, they were also there. So lots and lots of people were there. And that's where, when Lord Krishna, of course, is the super soul in every living entity. So when Lord Krishna understood that the ladies, especially the ladies, were extra sensitive for this scenario that was going on, they couldn't stand it, they became restless, then Krishna decided not to continue the wrestling. That's where Krishna, he performs, he enacts his pastimes. But since he is an actor, and since he is doing it, it's a real act, without repetition. So on the spot, he decided to, okay, let's not continue this playing around, you know, trying to fight and hit but not kill. So Krishna, he decided not to continue the wrestling, but to kill the wrestlers immediately. The parents of Krishna and Balaram, namely Nanda Maharaj, Yasoda, Vasudev and Devaki, were also very anxious because they did not know the unlimited strength of their children. Lord Balaram was fighting with the wrestler Mustika in the same way that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was fighting and wrestling with Shanura. Lord Krishna appeared to be cruel to Shanura and he immediately struck him thrice with his fist. The great wrestler was jolted to the astonishment of the audience. Shanura then took his last chance and attacked Krishna just as one hawk swoops upon another. Folding his two hands together, he began to strike the chest of Krishna. But Lord Krishna was not even slightly disturbed. Not even more than an elephant that is hit by a flower garland. That's what Krishna felt. That was the ultimate strength of the wrestler. And it fell to him like a flower garland to an elephant. Krishna quickly caught the two hands of Shanura and began to wheel him around. And simply by centrifugal action, Shanura lost his life. Krishna then threw him on the ground. Shanura fell just like the flag of Indra. And all his nicely decorated ornaments were scattered, hither and thither. So and then Balaram did the same, basically, with his... with Mustika. He did a similar thing. He gave him three hard punches and blood came out of his mouth and he left his body. And then the other wrestlers, they came on the scene because they had lined up not one but maybe even 10 for each, for Krishna and Balaram. And then Krishna and Balaram, just with their left hand, they killed the other wrestlers, showing that, you know, just like lifting Govardhan with his left hand pinky, so with the left hand they just killed the other wrestlers and took care of them. Which clearly shows the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he enacts his pastimes. And then of course there was a big victory from all the citizens of Mathura, all the Vrindavan coward boys. They were in ecstasy with this victory of the Lord. So then, but then Kamsa was very disturbed. And he stopped immediately the music and he said, "What is this?" And, and he says, "These two coward boys should be driven out of Mathura Vrindavan and Vasudev should be killed and my father also should be killed, Ugrasena, and etc." And then when he said that, then Krishna jumped over his lifeguards and he immediately took his sword, but Krishna didn't give him a chance. He knocked off his helmet and took him by the hair and pulled him towards the place of fighting and killed him there on the spot and then dragged him away to show that it was clear to everybody, because he was such a powerful personality, so people were so afraid of him that even he was dead on the ground, they wouldn't even believe that he was dead. So then Krishna pulled him somewhat further away, and then it was clear to everybody that he had left his body. So these are these wonderful acts of Krishna, and which is continuously going on in the different universes, higher, lower parts of the material world, and middle parts. This is wonderful enactments, and it's wonderful also that we can absorb ourselves in this. That's why sometimes Srila Prabhupada writes at the end, and by reading this, you know, we will, I don't know exactly what he says, but he basically states that it is for our own spiritual advancement if we can absorb ourselves in these pastimes. So I will stop here. If there is any comment or question, you're welcome. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.